There'll be a point where God will let you go your way, and he will depart. Don't get to that point. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him before it's too late. He'll forgive you. He'll give you a cleansed heart. He'll change your heart to want to walk in his ways. And you'll be his people, and he'll be your God. And you'll have your sins forgiven.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, where we hear from our listeners, those who write us, email us, or leave phone messages. And I have a phone comment from Priscilla in South Dakota. She says, I so appreciate Greg's teaching. It's so straightforward and easy to understand. And I also have a phone comment from David in Wisconsin. He says, I love your ministry. And then from Clay in Nebraska, he says, you guys are awesome. Well, Priscilla, David, and Clay, thank you so much for sharing with us. And we are just so appreciative when our listeners let us know how God is using his word in their lives and how they appreciate it. It's all about God and his word, and so praise him. And now, Dave, we come to our message in Ezekiel chapter 11, where we're going to finish this wonderful chapter that points to the reality that God is going to bring about the salvation of Israel in the future. So with this in mind, you don't want to miss a bit of this. It's so important for us to understand because God is the God who keeps his promises. Okay, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 11.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Some people need to hear what the Lord Jesus said to those who would call the Lord their Lord. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Now, if you answer that question, if you're not saved, the question is, I don't want to do what you say. I want to do my will, right? But when God convicts our heart that we're sinful, and we turn and we realize that Jesus died for our sins, he paid the full price, that God loves us so much, and we say, Lord Jesus, I am trapped in sin, I can't get out, save me, Lord Jesus, he'll save you, and he'll change your heart. And he'll enable you and have desires to actually obey. And you'll actually be grieved when you don't. Change of heart. So then, here we see that these Jews think they're going to get away with it. No way. Now notice, back in our passage, there's a symbolic fulfillment. Now it came about, as I prophesied, and this is prophecy against those leaders, right, who devise iniquity and sell lies. He says that Pelatiah, the son of Benaniah, died. He died right while he's prophesying. The Lord brought judgment upon him. Just like the other guy in Jeremiah, right? The Lord knocked him off. And notice Ezekiel's response. He starts to wonder, you know, as any human being, hey, people are getting, they're being judged. What's going to happen? Verse 13, then I fell on my face and cried out with a loud voice and said, alas, Lord God, wilt thou bring the remnant of Israel to a complete end? Are you going to wipe them all out? Is that what's going to happen? And it's at this point we turn in our passage to a wonderful, wonderful, it's been all about judgment, but now a wonderful prophecy of hope. Verse 14, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, your brothers, your relatives, your fellow exiles, and the whole house of Israel, all of them, all who are the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all of those to whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, go far from the Lord. This land has been given as a possession. So at this point, he's going to say, those are going to be changed. There's going to be something that happens. And so what is he saying here? Those who were in Israel were saying to the exiles, go far from the Lord. We have the land. We're the ones that are in God's eyes. We have the land. But the opposite was true. Those who have been exiled, God was actually working with. And those who remained to go through the siege and his final judgment, God was not with. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, your brothers, your relatives, your fellow exiles, and the whole house of Israel, all of them, that's speaking of those in exile, are those to whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that's the bad guys, have said, go far from the Lord. This land has been given to us. Twisted pride. They're about to be judged, and they're saying the exiles are the ones far away from the Lord. Isn't that the way it is? The truth was they were entering into judgment, and God was about to expel them and slaughter them because they had rejected him. But notice God's gracious protection. Verse 16, therefore say, thus says the Lord God, though I have removed them far among the nations, and though I have scattered them among the countries. This is those who have been scattered before this siege, including Ezekiel. Yet I was a sanctuary for them a little while in the countries which they had gone. God says, hey, I take full credit. I scattered them. Remember, they were scattered, the first group with Daniel and his friends, then Ezekiel and others, you know, are scattered and taken into exile. And this last bit is going to be slaughtered in Jerusalem, and very few will make it out. But the ones that had gone, God's saying, hey, I was with them. God did not abandon the people of Israel, even though they had abandoned him. He did not abandon them. He says, yet I was a sanctuary for them for a little while in the countries. It's not like the Jews are saying in Jerusalem who are going to be judged, hey, you guys are the ones God has left. No, they're the ones that are going to be judged, and I'm with you. And so we have this question from Ezekiel, are you going to bring the remnant to an end? And he continues to give his answer, the Lord. Therefore, verse 17 say, thus says the Lord God, I shall gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries among which you have been scattered. I shall give you the land of Israel. The ones that got exiled, you're going to get it back. The ones that are there are going to be judged. It's not time to build houses. It's not time. Judgment is coming. They're giving you false assurance. They're lying. They're showing iniquity. He says, I'll give you the land of Israel. The Lord is faithful to his word. He's going to regather these exiled Jews. They're going to be given the land of Israel. And in a moment, I believe we're going to see this foreshadows their second exile, in a sense, after they rejected the Messiah and were spread out throughout the nations and were now brought back into the land. I believe it foreshadows that. Notice verse 18, and this is wonderful. And I know it's kind of complex, but it's actually quite simple. This is wonderful. Verse 18, when they come there, this is when the Jews are brought back to the land, they will remove all its detestable things and all its abominations from it, and I shall give them one heart and shall put a new spirit within them. I shall take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Then they will be my people and I will be their God. You see, man has a problem. We have a sin problem, and our sins are hardened towards God. And when we turn to the Lord for salvation, he changes our hearts. And he's saying Israel, all of them are going to be saved at one time. He's going to say that they're going to be changed. He says, when they come, when they come. He says, I'm going to put a new spirit, give them one heart, take the heart of stone out, give them a heart of flesh. Now we know the remnant of believers that came back after the 70-year exile, Zechariah, Haggai, Ezra, Nehemiah, there was a very small remnant, and even in the Gospels we see a small remnant who were believers, who did have changed hearts. Yet Israel as a nation was still in unbelief when the Lord Jesus came. They saw a great light, but they rejected him. He came to his own, but they rejected him, right? And so he says this here, so when is this going to happen? When is this fulfillment going to happen where those who are brought back to Israel actually have one heart? Their heart of stone is removed. They have a heart of flesh. They have God's spirit. And they're able to obey God's word. And they're his people. When's that going to happen? In Ezekiel 37, we have that famous, people made it into a more of a children's portion, but it's the dry bones. We have a picture of dry bones being brought into Israel, in a sense, and they're dead. But God takes those dry bones and he adds flesh to them and makes them alive. Right now, we see Israel is in the land. Do they follow the Lord? Absolutely not. They are dry bones. They are dead to God. But they will be made alive, as we'll say. Look up at Ezekiel 36. There are so many passages that reveal that God will eventually save the nation of Israel. Not of all time, but at one time. Those who are alive. Ezekiel 36. And while you're turning there is an end times theology that's going around, beginning popularity. It's called Reformed theology, which has a replacement theology in it. But it's really not reformed at all. During the Reformation, by the way, the Catholic dogma concerning salvation, which was by works, was reformed, where it was by faith, truly, and that's how we're saved, by faith in Jesus. But their end times view was not reformed. It stayed the same. But yet those who are reformed call it reformed. The reality is it's not reformed at all. We see the true end times doctrine from Scripture. Look at Ezekiel 36, verse 23. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people and I will be your God. It's clearly going to happen in the future. We saw this in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3, he says, I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day, declares the Lord of hosts. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 9. And in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to send a nurse vine and fig tree. It's going to be peace. We know from the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Again, it's a lot of stuff, but there's one main point. Just keep holding on to that. That salvation comes through the Lord. When we trust in him through his son Jesus, we receive a new heart, and that's going to happen from the nation of Israel. In Daniel chapter 9, we see that 70 weeks, verse 24, has been decreed for your people in your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. God's clearly saying, hey, this amount of time is predicted for you to be saved. And I'm not going to get into that. There's a lot to talk about that. But it's very clear that God is going to save Israel. You see, we're living in an anomaly right now. It's called the church age, we call it that, where God has turned his attention from the Jews to the Gentiles. And it's until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Maybe that's today. If you're not saved and you get saved, maybe that's today. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, then he turns his attention back to Israel and he will save them, as we see. One last big passage I want to turn to. Turn to Romans chapter 11. You see, God is going to gather his people, and he's going to save them. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. And remember, Ezekiel's saying, hey, are they done? Is the whole remnant going to get slaughtered? Is it over? Look at Romans 11, 1. I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be. For I, too, am an Israelite, Paul says. He was a Jew. A descendant of Abraham, tribe of Benjamin, that's a Jew, by the way. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknow. Or do you not know the scripture says in the passage about Elijah how he pleads against Israel? Lord, they've killed the prophets. They've torn down the altars. I alone am left. He says, I'm the last guy, basically. They're seeking my life. But what is the divine response? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. In the same way, there also has come at this present time to be a remnant according to God's gracious choice. And then if you look down in verse 11, he says, I say then, they didn't stumble so as to fall, did they? Are the Jews out? May it never be. Now, if their transgression be riches for the world and their failure be riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? That's speaking of their salvation. And one last portion, turn to verse 25 of Romans 11. It says, for I do not want you to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation. It should be a spiritual smarty pants. I don't want you to be that way. He says here, that a partial hardening has happened to what? Israel. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That's where we're at right now, by the way. Israel is hardened towards the Lord. There's a remnant, but they're hardened. And he says, and thus all Israel will be saved. That's what it says. God's going to save the nation of Israel at one time, not of all Jews of all time. There's many non-believers who are going to be in hell. But at that time, just as it is written, a deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. That's what our passage is talking about back in Ezekiel, verse 19. And I shall give them one heart. I shall put a new spirit within them. I shall take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, keep my ordinances to do them. They will be my people, and I shall be their God. This is really what Scripture calls a new covenant, a new agreement that God made with Israel. If you look at Jeremiah 31:31, this is easy to remember, 31:31. You see, God made a covenant with Israel that they failed at because you can't do it on your own. He wanted to show them their sin. And he made a new covenant with them, which brings forgiveness. Jeremiah 31:31, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor, each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I'll remember no more. You know, Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, symbolically showed what he would do on the cross. He said, when he took the cup, he said, give it thanks. He said, this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus died on the cross, he instituted a new covenant in which there is forgiveness of sins and a changed heart. Everything looked forward to that, and now we look back to that. And this covenant is for Israel, by the way. It says Israel and Judah. And it says at one time, everyone's going to know the Lord. You're not going to say to your brother, know the Lord, because they all will know the Lord. That's what our passage is talking about. But we, Gentiles, what about us? Well, we see very clearly that we benefit from the blessings of this new covenant by faith in Jesus. When you trust in Jesus, you receive the forgiveness of sins. You receive the forgiveness of sins, and you become Abraham's spiritual seed through faith in Jesus. You see, salvation is from the Jews. When we believe in Jesus, we are saved. We get a new heart. He puts his word in our hearts. We become his people, and he becomes our God, and our sinless, lawless deeds, sins he will remember no more. Ezekiel 36:33, thus says the Lord God, on that day I will cleanse you from all your iniquities. You see, when Jesus comes in glory, they're going to see him whom they pierced, and they're going to mourn over him, and they're going to turn, they're going to believe in him, and one day they're going to be saved. They're going to have a changed heart. Those dry bones will have flesh on them. They will be alive again, and all Israel will be saved, like we see in the book of Romans. So, what's the application for us? First of all, the soul that sins will die. If we don't have forgiveness of sins, we're going to die in our sins. But God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Rather, they would repent and live. Okay, so let's get back to our passage and finish up here. Verse 21. But as for those whose hearts who go after detestable things and abominations, those are the ones that aren't going to be saved. Those are the ones back in Jerusalem, and could be anyone who doesn't turn to the Lord. He says, I shall bring their conduct on their heads, declares the Lord. I'm going to bring their conduct on their heads. They're going to reap what they sow. They're going to be judged for their deeds. I'm so glad I'm not judged for my words and thoughts and my deeds. I'm a sinner. I'm so glad Jesus paid the full price for it. And then notice verse 22. Then the cherubim, and this is that scene which we saw last week and which we see in chapter 1, the Lord on the throne, the expanse, the cherubim, the wheels, that whole heavenly scene which is beyond our comprehension. Because then the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel hovered over them. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood over the mountain which is east of the city. Some say that's maybe Mount Moriah or Golgotha. The glory of the Lord left the city and stood away from it. We see God's visible presence leaving before he judges. Folks, there are some of you who have been around Christians all your life. In this area, we have a lot of Christians, a lot of people named the name of the Lord. And you've heard the gospel over and over again. The Spirit of God's convicted you. But you're on the precipice of the unforgivable sin, rejecting the truth of the gospel. Blaspheming the Spirit who convicts you of your sin. And the reality is, there'll be a point where God will let you go your way. And He will depart. He'll let you go. Don't get to that point. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him before it's too late. He'll forgive you. He'll give you a cleansed heart. He'll change your heart to want to walk in His ways. And you'll be His people, and He'll be your God. And you'll have your sins forgiven. Then notice, second to last verse, "And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me in the vision by the Spirit of God to the exiles in Chaldea. So the vision that I had seen left me." Okay, he's been taken away from the vision in Jerusalem. He's back to the exiles. And it says, verse 25, "Then I told the exiles all the things that the Lord had shown me." And now we've been told it also, right? So then, heavenly hope in the midst of horrifying judgment. And again, how does this apply to us? If you're a non-believer, if you haven't trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, there's a point where God will just leave you alone. You know, we see in 2 Corinthians 4 that He allows Satan to blind the minds of the unbelieving. Turn to Him today. If you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've failed. I'm so sinful. I believe You died on the cross and paid the full penalty. Lord Jesus, save me. Whoever calls on the Lord will be saved." Then for those of us who are believers, let's not forget that our salvation came through the person of Jesus Christ. That He's the way, the truth, and the life. And that through Christ we have forgiveness of sins. We have a new heart. We have the ability to know God's word and to obey God's word. Let us not stop giving thanks to Him for what He has done for us. We now live in the blessings of the new covenant. We're His people. He's our God. We have new hearts that can hear the word of God, and our sins have been forgiven.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness? That you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that He took on human flesh, that He came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that His work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to Him and ask Him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank You so much for Your word and Your Son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know You, who still are in their sins.
that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.